Shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan, along with my lovely wife and ongoing student of God's Word, Sheeta Crawford, who will be sharing in a minute. But first, let's ask God for His blessing on tonight's program. Abba, Father, blessed be Your name, for You are God of all gods. Jesus, You are begotten, not made. One in being with the Father, we thank You and honor You, and because of Your blood, we can render the enemy powerless and inoperative over those who are called by Your name. We constantly pray for all our loved ones' salvations and for our listeners' good health. We lift up to You these prayers from Your righteous ones, and may we find all favor in Your eyes as we expectantly keep looking up, and may Your light shine on tonight's study. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen, and Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu.
Which means, may you be inscribed for a good year.
And as we said last week, it really would be a good year if we are in heaven having our honeymoon.
Amen to that.
So we are still in season of repentance, or teshuva in Hebrew. A definite time for repentance, especially if you are fence sitting, because you don't want to miss this glorious event.
No, you don't.
That's going to happen some year. Mm-hmm. So why take a chance on being left behind? And in case you still think the rapture is only a New Testament truth, we will continue from last week's teaching on Isaiah 26. 2 weeks ago, we taught on Micah 7, where he prophesied, remember how the righteous will disappear, leaving no one upright on the earth at that moment?
Remember to check out our archived radio programs if you have missed that teaching. Well, how about some, if you want to call it, news?
Okay. Well, the presidential debates are next Monday night, so I wonder, will she really do it?
Don't know how. That is on the minds of many.
The UN General Assembly is currently conducting their yearly high-level meetings in New York as we speak. Nope, that was this morning. Their main agenda, and this is off the UN's website, is titled, A Universal Push to Transform Our World.
Transform it to what? Hmm. No surprise there.
President Obama gave his speech today emphasizing global integration and how some groups are trying to hinder it, like the fundamentalists on the far right, who are still pushing to restore a better, simpler life, free from outside contamination. And he said, remember, a nation built within walls only imprisons itself. Yeah. Anyway, yesterday, upon Russia's insistence, they also addressed the Syrian crisis, again, like every year, especially about what happened in Syria on Saturday.
Oh, do tell.
The U.S. bombed Assad's Syrian army outpost. They're also known as the SAA, which means Syria Arab Army. Anyway, they killed over 60 soldiers and injured approximately 100. Washington said, oh, it was really meant for ISIS and just a mistake.
A mistake? Wasn't it Obama who stated we have accurate and pinpointed missiles?
Yeah, he surely did.
Thanks, Obama.
But an insider news source is saying that the Pentagon is not always following orders from Obama because to adhere to Russia's demands, they would have to share intelligence that the military says they cannot do. Now, remember last week they did all agree, Russia and the United States and that, to a ceasefire where the United States was supposed to be working together with Russia. Of course, they had strings attached, to only fire upon ISIS.
So, this hit on Assad's army was not a good thing.
Absolutely not. And now, Putin, who was already very suspicious, is now convinced, and yesterday openly announced to the press that Washington is on the side of ISIS. He said that. And that this bombing on Saturday really helped ISIS, who appeared to be ready to move in, and within a few hours, they did. It's as if they knew what was about to happen. Of course, over here in America, we keep getting bombarded with more news on Hillary and Trump.
But then comes another reason to hoard our news media. The terror incidents in New Jersey, New York, and Minnesota.
Right. I must mention this as well. There is a video game named The Division. Well, not only did the stabbing in Minnesota occur at the Crossroads Center on Division Street, but apparently the game contains a map to include the town of Chelsea with a bomb going off. Chelsea was also one of the strike zones on the Batman map in the movie Dark Knight Rises. Now, we didn't see it, and we do not own any video games, so you'll have to check this out yourself. But could it be just more false flags, which means, of course, staged events to occur to divert one's attention?
The old bait and switch, or just cause chaos.
They want to do that, too. One more thing about Syria to add to the pot. I read an article a few weeks ago that Iran, who are Shiites, of which President Assad is, are actually pleased that the Sunnis are being driven out, which can make way for the Iranian Shiites to form their caliphate. And that has been a long sought for goal for many years. And they already have a big chunk in Iraq.
There's no doubt the Sunnis are leaving in droves.
Mostly to Europe, but many are coming here too. Obama plans on bringing in even more, like 100,000, because, well, you know, he doesn't want America to say it's still a Christian nation. And by the way, 20 states in America do not require IDs to vote.
And Obama is trying to give voting rights to those in prison.
Some states like Vermont already allow that, who, of course, they'll surely vote Democratic, especially after Obama is now offering Pell Grants to help felons when they get out. Really, it's about $5,000. Isn't that somewhat of an incentive to those who are poor to commit a crime?
Well, you know, you get three hots and a cot and leave with $5,000. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, I like your humor, dear. But one more thing on this topic. I saw this morning where a whistleblower said almost 1,000 refugees who should have been deported were mistakenly given citizenship because the Department of Homeland Security lost their fingerprint records.
Well, that's fraud at the highest level.
It really is. And he said, this whistleblower also said that some actually of these people went into law enforcement or high security positions. It's just so amazingly incredible.
That's hard to believe.
I'm speechless.
I know. Well, how's Israel doing these days?
Well, unfortunately, the lone wolf knifings are picking up again. And the water levels in the Sea of Galilee are so low now that an island in the middle of the sea has appeared. The Jewish sages say that's another sign of the Messiah's coming, according to their Talmud. And the religious governing body, called the Sanhedrin, have just chosen, after 2,000 years, a high priest. His name is Rabbi Kahan, and he does plan on conducting a sacrificial ceremony on Yom Kippur.
Would they do a sacrifice without the temple?
Sure they could. All they need is an altar, like they did in Ezra's day. Remember when they returned from Babylon?
Mm-hmm.
Ezra 3, 5, and 6. And I'll just read it real quick. Afterwards, they offered the regular burnt offering and those for new moons and for all the appointed feasts of the Lord that were consecrated and those of everyone who willingly offered a free will offering to the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month. Now, those that study Hebraic roots knows that's Rosh Hashanah, the new year. They began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, although the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this last Passover, very near the Temple Mount, the Kohanim, or temple priest, burned the barley on an altar called the grain offering as required in Exodus 29:24.
So they really are raring to go.
Oh, and Israel was just given a raise to their aid package from $3.1 to $3.8 billion a year from Obama. He must want to make nice before he leaves to help his legacy.
Thanks, Obama. Or he wants to increase our debt clock.
Well, that's true, too. One more thing. The Interfaith Ecumenical Assembly in Jerusalem continues till the 23rd. The Pope is expected to give a message, probably over a live large-screen video. This festival is only the first of more to come, a kind of testing the waters. Of course, we know it will meet high approval from all those involved in implementing the new One World religion. Since we do know the end of the story, but I'll give more on that next week.
All right, then. You can send your end times question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office at 440-834-9006. But you must leave a detailed message to include your phone number or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. And please join us. We will be in Mentor this coming Thursday at Lakeshore Assembly of God, 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard, talking about the rapture and the coming fall feast. All right. Before we get into Isaiah, I know you wanted to comment on a recent letter concerning the scripture that you often refer to in Luke.
Yes, and I hope that person's listening because I have taught on this a few times, but let's just go over it again. In Luke 21:36, you know where it says to pray, and I believe that's the sinner's prayer, and it says, pray that we can escape the things Jesus was just talking about, which was the tribulation. The problem is that most translations say pray always, where the word always is just not in the original Greek Textus Receptus. And we must go by the original over all the translations. Otherwise, to pray always adds a condition to our salvation, which is absurd. So, check it out yourself and then cross out the word always in your Bible. And it makes perfect sense that the prayer of salvation will eliminate our being here for the final judgment. It's also called Jacob's trouble because the focus will be on Israel and their ultimate salvation, which will happen.
Amen. Okay, a quick review of Isaiah 26 from last week, and then the exciting scriptures at the end.
Okay, and they really are exciting too. But Isaiah 26 begins with telling us it's in that day, which always means the seventh millennium. Now, we are still in the sixth millennium, but soon we'll be in the seventh, and Isaiah 26 begins right at the beginning of the seventh millennium with the resurrection of the righteous. In verse 2, where it says to open the gates, or the portal to heaven, so the righteous who keep the truth, thy word is truth, may enter in. That's us. Then in verse 3 through 18, I said last week to read this on your own this week because I really want to concentrate on verses 19 through 21. But since we have some time, I'll just give a quick overview. Verses 3 through 7 are comforting scriptures for the believer. You know, he is our strength, who gives us peace, and he is just and will bring down the lofty or the prideful. Then in verse 8 and 9, Isaiah begins to say how the righteous have waited so patiently with nightly desires, seeking him diligently. Saints, let me ask you, is that how you feel? Do you diligently seek him with passion? Anyway, he goes on in verse 9 to declare that during the time of his judgments, some will turn to righteousness. And I believe that's the tribulation saints, because we know they will. Not all, but they will. Anyway, in verse 10 and 11, now your translation might say, let grace be shown. But the original says, even though grace be shown to the wicked, they, talking about the wicked, will not learn righteousness. Verse 12 through 15 speaks of how they have had wicked masters who will not rise, but be punished and destroyed, and his land shall be increased. So we'll get rid of the wicked and God's land will be increased. Verse 16 through 18 clearly speaks of the tribulation saints which should really comfort you concerning your loved ones, because it says they will pour out the prayer when the time of trouble and chastening comes, and compares it to a woman in labor and says how they have been in pain before, but without any results. Then in verse 19, and here we get into the good stuff here, Isaiah speaks of the righteous dead, again along with himself, we shall awake and sing. But the very last sentence of verse 19, that you would not catch if you didn't look up the word dead, is the Hebrew word rapha. And it says, and the earth shall cast out the rapha. Raphaim would be the Hebrew. The plural. Okay. So when you're reading this, you might think, since the verse starts out talking about the righteous resurrection, that one would assume it's just a continuation of our resurrection from the dust, which is what he says in the beginning, or the upper layers of the earth. But again, if you look more closely, you'll notice Isaiah speaks of our resurrection as being from the light, as dew grows herbs. But this last sentence says the earth, meaning lower than the dust, will do the casting. And the word for dead is rapha, number 7497, meaning descendants from the Nephilim or giants. And of course, we're referring back to Genesis 6. In other words, after our resurrection or rapture, the wicked Raphim will be released from the bottomless pit, like Revelation 9 also tells us will happen. It's amazing when you realize that everything in the New Testament has been prophesied in the Old Testament too. Scripture is telling us how really devastating and wicked the earth will become. And according to teachers like L.A. Marzulli, Rob Skiba, Tom Horn, Gary Stearin, Timothy Alberino, and many others, are already, they're saying, that we're being visited as foreshadows of what is to come. I'm not going to get into that too much. You can do your own homework, but we're talking about a very bad time in the tribulation. God won't let his bride be here. And the Vatican is using the highest powered telescope in the world. They call it Lucy for Lucifer, who the Jesuits who run this on Mount Graham are seeing entities in the second heavens who they say will be coming here soon. Whew. They say they are aliens, but we know they are demonic beings. This is why, again, we have to leave. Our light is restraining this right now, at least the bulk of it. So anyway, Isaiah then goes back to the moments after our resurrection / rapture and prophesies what happens right away. And this is key in verse 20. He says, come, my people, enter your chambers. The Hebrew word for chamber is 2315, hadar. This is a wedding private room. It's a wedding room. And he goes on and says, and shut your doors behind you. Now, I think it's interesting that in Matthew 25:10, the door was shut to the five virgins because they were virgins in name only. Sort of like saying, people say they're a Christian today, but they're a Christian only in name, okay? They don't have the heart for it. He goes on and says, hide yourself, talking to us, as it were, for a little while. And then Isaiah goes on to state, even for how long? He says, until the indignation is past. Now, Daniel 8:19 confirms that the indignation is in the latter days. And if you go to that, Daniel 8:19, where Gabriel is speaking to Daniel about his vision, the angel says, look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation. For at the appointed time, the end shall be. Clearly, the indignation is talking about the tribulation. Also in Revelation 14:10, talking about those who receive the mark, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, if he takes the mark, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. This person shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Okay, back to Isaiah, now in verse 21 of chapter 26. He explains what will happen at the end of the indignation. Actually, the last day, which I believe will be to fulfill Yom Kippur, which is Tishri 10 on the Hebrew calendar, right at sundown. It says, verse 21, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place. Again, this is at the end of the tribulation, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. We read about this in Revelation 19. The earth will also disclose her bloodshed and will no more cover her slain. Wow, he's going to set up his kingdom. Now, another Old Testament confirmation of this is in Joel 2:15-17. And I'm going to read it. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. So we know it's a feast, and it's a feast that consecrates a fast. It's only Yom Kippur. It says, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, and gather the children and nursing babes. And then it says, let the bridegroom go out from his chamber, just like Isaiah just got through saying. And that word for chamber is hadar. And the bride from her dressing room, which in Hebrew is huppah. And it says, let the priests who minister to the Lord weep before the porch and the altar. This is terminology for Yom Kippur. And so we see the bride comes out of his chamber on a Yom Kippur. And there's a lot more I could say to add to this, but I think it's also interesting that in the very next verse, which is Isaiah 27, verse 1, it says, in that day, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, and of course this is confirmed in Revelation 19, the sword of Jesus' mouth, and also Hebrews 4 says that the word is sharper than the sword, and of course this is Jesus. But he goes on to say that he'll punish Leviathan. That's that sea monster, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. What does Revelation 13 say the beast comes from? The sea. So anyway, we can see Isaiah 26:20 is a definite pre-trib rapture scripture in the Old Testament. So I hope you've enjoyed going a little deeper, and I need to close now. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. If you don't know Jesus, what are you waiting for? Why take a chance? You got a lot more to lose than if we're wrong. Anyway, till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. We love Jerusalem. It's going to be our home pretty soon. So keep looking up. Till next week, keep praising the Lord. Bring in a few more converts because the time could be running out very shortly. Just a few more days even. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.